I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
And we're back. Farrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight and all week long. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. We are rolling as always. Channel 204 on Sirius XM Sports Grid Radio. Welcome aboard. Welcome to the party. Let's do it, baby. Mafia, we did a lot of football hour number one. We will touch on a little bit more. We've got to talk about Connor. Don't worry, we're getting to Connor. We have to talk about Connor getting cleaned out by Dustin Poirier on Saturday night, and we are going to get to that soon. NBA tonight, a lot of good games going on. Vancouver up 2-0 on Ottawa right now. Only one NHL game tonight, which is strange, but we're looking for some power plays. I have not seen one yet. There was one very early in the first period, but we need more than that to try to hit some of these props tonight. Let's go, baby. Mafia, a couple more things on this Super Bowl. The props are out, a couple of props. Like, this is like a slow roll here. Like, every day I feel like FanDuel and other books are going to start putting more and more props up. They already have the anytime touchdown props up. And they have Super Bowl MVP, a couple of other things. And I'm looking at these because, you know, Mafia, I play these every week. You play them every week. So you kind of have a feel by now what the odds are each player on a weekly basis for anytime touchdowns. And you know that Kelce and Hill are always in the minus money. And like even before kickoff yesterday, I mean, they were minus 175, minus 180, you know, in that area. They've opened here today. They're at minus 155 for Kelce, minus 150 for Hill. I feel like a couple of these anytime touchdown props, Mafia, like this is one thing where if you are going to bet anytime TDs, I feel like getting them here early in this week and not waiting till closer to game, the only place these numbers are going to go is up. Like, you're going to pay more. Now's the time, I feel, to get some of these. Like, Antonio Brown's plus 240. When they announce he's definitely playing in the middle of next week, that's going to get under 200. You know, these numbers are only going in the wrong direction if you want to bet them. And that's how I look at these anytime touchdowns early in the bye week of the Super Bowl, Moff.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, this is one that I'm sure a lot of people like to get in on because it's not one where you have to worry about, you know, specific numbers and they could do this, you know, over unders. Those are, you know, harder to lock down sometimes, especially when the book, you know, sets them kind of in these certain spots where you're like, oh man, I think he might, but that's a lot. I mean, I kind of felt that way with the Kelce over 7.5 catches when I was betting it yesterday, but then again, I was done by that by halftime. But then there was other ones like, you know, me and we're looking at it on Saturday and seeing the over for longest reception for guys like Tyreek Hill was 26.5 and yeah. MVS was like 16.5. And I jumped all over those. I couldn't believe how low those were for guys who are, you know, making their living off of being burners. Me and Holden Kushner were looking at those, like, how are they so low? I couldn't believe it. So when you see these anytime touchdown ones, like you said, it's so much easier to bet on. It's a yes or a no. You know, it's not kind of, will this happen number-wise? Are we going to get close? Will I get burned by a yard and a half? Like, you know, you and I have gotten in some of these games. It's just, is this going to happen? And I think that's the easiest for people to bet on and one of the ones they like the most. We're really surprised that Gronkowski is plus two. He's the fourth highest on the Tampa Bay side. I know he got a big catch yesterday, but this guy's done nothing for so long. I mean, Cameron Brate's, you know, almost twice as much. Well, not, he's plus 40 more, plus 260. He's the guy who makes more catches from tight end. Come on.
Look, I got to thank Gronk. Mafia, that's for sure. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, Ed Mafia, in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. The number to get involved talking Super Bowl props as we get ready, Bucks and Chiefs in a couple of weeks. And Mafia, you brought up Gronk. You know, Gronk had one catch, and man, it saved me. I hit an SGP because of that. It was 28.5 was his number, and that catch was for 29 yards. So you talk about the halves, one way or the other. That Gronk catch and run yesterday hit me an SGP. So I got to, you know, I have to thank Gronk in that one. I'm waiting around all game because I hit the others pretty early in that. I think that one I had Evans touchdown, Fournette over 42.5 yards, and Gronk over 28.5 yards. So I was waiting around for Gronk to get involved, and sure enough, the one catch he had goes for 29, and then I went 2 out of 3 in a couple of other ones that I played. So I had a pretty good day with the props in those two games. But these anytime TDs, man, you got to get on these things early. And the Super Bowl numbers, too, the MVP, Moff. Now, you know that it almost always goes to a quarterback 95% of the time. It's hard. Mahomes is minus 105. Brady's plus 220. I heard Ariel and Smitty this morning bring up one that I absolutely am going to play, and I'm playing it within the next couple days before it goes down more. When they brought it up this morning on the morning after, it was 150-1, and it's already gone down to 100-1 thanks to Ariel and Smitty probably touting it this morning. That's Devin White, Moff. He has been really good, and he can wreck a game, and he could easily have a sack or two, a pick six, something like that. And if the Bucks win, Devin White 100-1 right now, Moff, get involved.
You know, that'd be interesting because you don't really see defensive players get it too often. Now I was looking more at Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, where we're getting big numbers, well over 1,000 when I was seeing. I think it was like 1,500, 1,500. I mean, I know obviously the quarterbacks got to throw it to get it to them, but still, those guys are just killer. The season that Kelce's had, I wouldn't be surprised if it's on like love of the guy that the people give it to.
There's some good ones out here. We'll definitely talk about that and a lot more. For on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. We keep rolling. SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio after this.
Our goal is subtle
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you got to do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight and all week long. 844-843-6879 is the number to get involved. Of course, we are also rolling on SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you all with us. Mafia, West Virginia at the buzzer comes back and beats Texas Tech. They were down, 10 points for a good portion of this second half, and they come back with a winner here, Moff?
Yeah, I think it's Miles McBride is, I think, the one that hit the game winner. And he comes down with just they had 16 seconds left when they inbounded it down one. He drives down the right side, hits a floating jumper over two guys coming at him from Texas Tech. Just under 6 seconds left, Texas inbounds the ball to McClung. He comes all the way down, tries to get another shot to win it like he did a couple weeks ago. Does not fall. West Virginia steals the game.
Wow, tough loss for Texas Tech. They had a look like they had a nice road win all wrapped up, and the Mountaineers come storming back at the end. Really good win for them. Moff, we said we would talk a little Connor here. Let's do it now. You're our guy. You do a tremendous job with the MMA picks on Coast to Coast and on In-Game Live, et cetera, et cetera. You know that. You know how I am with MMA. I'm pretty simple. I can't watch every fight. There's too many guys. I have no idea who they are. I usually get involved when Conor fights because I like the nonsense. I like when Conor, you know, belittles somebody all week long and then fights them on Saturday. Like, I like the buildup. That's what I'm about. It gets me to watch the fight. I know I'm not the diehard MMA guy. I need this stuff. I was very confused, Mafia, by what went on with Conor McGregor in the past week. It was so unlike him leading up to this fight, like basically praising Poirier every step of the way. Now, it's not like Poirier doesn't deserve to be praised. And I know these guys had a thing worked out where they were going to like spar each other or something before Dana said, no, I'm not losing the money. You guys are going to go do this with me. So I get there's some mutual respect there, things like that. It was just so not like Conor to be that openly, oh, I can't wait to have a good fight with you, my man. I mean, this is it. We're here for the, you know, put on a show and blah, blah, blah. Usually Conor is completely belittling whoever it is that he's about to fight that week. Now, then he gets into the fight. He gets absolutely cleaned out, which is another thing you never see from Conor McGregor. I mean, he's lost before Mafia, but not like he lost laying on the mat with blood coming out of his, you know, all his nose and everywhere else. He got cleaned out by Poirier in that second round. And then after the fight, to basically sit there and be like, oh, well, you know, it's a tough break. I just don't fight enough. You know, I didn't get to fight enough this year. And Conor, you fought like twice in the last 3 years. Like, what do you expect is going to happen? I don't know, Mafia. I just thought the whole week was very strange with everything about Conor, and it wasn't like him at all, like he's done in the past.
Yeah, it was definitely weird, him showing respect to a guy. But, I mean, Poirier's a guy that absolutely deserves it. This is a guy who, you know, has obviously been to war with him before and lost. But then, you know, the career that he's had since, 10-2 since he moved to lightweight after that fight that they had, 5 of his last 6 he's won over guys like Gaethje, over guys like Alvarez, over guys like Holloway. So, you know, some of the biggest names in that division or in featherweight. Well, Holloway fought him at lightweight, but he's a featherweight. So guys that have, you know, done great things in that division, everyone outside of Khabib, he was beaten before McGregor. And then still, you know, he comes in there and, you know, he fought the perfect fight. And, you know, I thought he was going to have to drag him into like a longer fight, deeper into it, you know, try to gas him out a little bit with that clinch work and get him to the mat. And he did get him down. He got him in the clinch, got him down. But then McGregor was able to get back up and kind of neutralize the, you know, the takedown attempts he had after that and, you know, get some shots in on him. So I'm like, oh, no, he might be in trouble. But that calf kick that he used just worked so perfectly and made it so that Conor couldn't do anything. You know, Conor's leg was so banged up that he just could not really get any power, couldn't get any movement, and that just set him up to get his head taken off. And Poirier just opened up on him with his boxing and just knocked him out. All the memes are incredible. You know, all the sleeping memes of him with different things. You know, and it's fair game. You know, a guy that runs his mouth like that, it's fair game for it to come back at you. So I was surprised that he was humble. I was surprised that he was, you know, such a cool guy about it. And I don't blame him for not fighting last year. Previous years, absolutely. You know, he's taken all his time off. He's gone to done boxing. He's, you know, wants all his money out, giant sums of money to fight, or he's going to pick who he wants to fight because that's just, you know, he thinks he runs it. And this year was different. This year was because of COVID. Dana did not want to put him out there. He said, you know, listen, I make too much money off your gates to have you fight in front of, you know, no crowd. So he was holding him off. He was trying to get him to fight, you know, let him fight after the Cowboy fight, and Dana wouldn't let him do it. So, you know, maybe that's a little bit on Dana, and what they're going to have after that fight is on Dana and on ESPN because, you know, you said it, he was showing him respect, but ESPN sure wasn't. All they were talking about was Conor McGregor. All they ever talk about is McGregor. I mean, when he's fighting guys like Aldo and Khabib, at least they gave a little respect to those guys and all their wins before. They didn't talk about Poirier at all. And this is a guy who deserved it. As I said, all the stuff he's done in the cage and more so for the stuff he's done outside the cage, because you talked about how they were going to do this before. It was going to be a charity fight for the two of them under, you know, McGregor's Mac Life thing, where they were going to have a promotional, you know, charity match between the two of them, and the money was going to go. They're going to donate, you know, the clothes they're wearing, all that kind of stuff, and raise money for other people. So both these guys have done things. You know, McGregor, we hear all the bad stuff he does, but there is a lot of good that he does outside the cage too, with charity and donations. And, you know, he did a lot of donating things during COVID. So both these guys have done so much besides their fighting career that it was great to see it go on and see McGregor grow up a little bit in my mind and actually show a guy some respect. And we'll see how that goes from now on. The interesting point I saw was, you know, Mayweather running his mouth afterwards, because he made a big point about how, like, this guy does everything I do and people love him. And, you know, me, it's the opposite. Everyone hates me. Although, you know, his point is a little diluted by the fact that he's been to jail for other things. You know, it was not just because he runs his mouth, people hate him. He got in trouble for, you know, doing things to his baby mama, and, you know, the way he treats other people has been, you know, a point of contention for some people. But, I mean, it's not like McGregor hasn't gotten in trouble outside, you know, the ring and the cage. He just hasn't gotten put in jail for it at this point. He's gotten the charges, you know, not pressed against him. The investigations have gone away. But, you know, it was definitely an interesting weekend, and all the credit to Poirier for doing what he needs to do and winning like I thought he would. You know, he was smart. He fought smart. He fought hard, and he knocked this guy out and took him off his pedestal.
Yeah, and you bring up Mayweather, and I still believe that these two guys are slow playing everybody into another fight. Like, I know it's been a few years now. I mean, who knows? We've heard this boxing stuff with Conor a little bit. Here's what I'll ask you, and this might have to wait because I know we don't have too much time left in this segment, but he loses now. He's not really in the quote-unquote title picture anymore. He sat there a couple days ago saying how he doesn't care about titles anyway. Him losing a fight like this, Mafia, is he still going to be a big-time draw? Like, is he still up there? Like, he has a massive following. And I feel like even if he's fighting, even if it's not for titles or things like that, that people are still going to watch because he has the massive following and he's got the personality and he is Conor McGregor. Does he, you know, do they have to give him a tomato can the next one like they did with Cowboy to make sure he wins again to keep it going? How does this angle for him in the future? Does he still get big fights? Can he still beat anybody? What's the deal with him?
He can definitely still beat people. We saw him look good against Poirier before he got caught. In the end of that first round, he looked good. It looked like he might take the fight over.
He won the first round.
Possibly. It depends. You know, it depends on the judging. You know, the takedowns and stuff like that, and the cage control is something that, you know, might have hampered him there. It all depends on the judges, but they do tend to, like, stand up more. Seconds. But, you know, for me, he's definitely going to get big fights because he's a big name. Until he starts losing more, he's going to get those fights. It's going to be, who do you put him up against? Like, you can't put it. Khabib's not coming back. You can't put him up against, you know, some of these guys that are in the title picture. Maybe Ferguson, because, you know, he just lost, so he's out of the title picture too at this point. Or, you know, maybe Diaz with the bad blood, or maybe, you know, Mayweather or Pacquiao. I saw Kevin Ailey tweet out, like, I guess that fight's dead. I don't think so, because now you don't need him for the title picture. Why not throw him in boxing?
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Conor, that's for sure. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia, 844-843-6879. We keep rolling on Sports Grid Radio, Channel 204 on Sirius right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty Pharrell tonight and all week long. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. Thanks for joining us on SiriusXM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio, and everywhere else. Mafia, so Conor done. We put him to bed. We'll see if who he fights next. I just hope he keeps fighting because I like the show, which is why I think he'll still be a draw. Even if he loses a couple fights, I think that people will still tune in. Because he's that name, because he's that brand. Would that be a good way to put a bow on the Conor thing? Is that even if he does lose, now obviously if he loses, people are going to stop taking interest. But as long as he can still win here and there, he might not be the top guy in the division anymore, things like that. But he brings enough marketability to where Dana can still sell him, even if he's fighting some stiffs, because people are going to watch because they like the show.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's a guy. I mean, look at Adrian Broner in boxing. The guy can't win to save his life now, and he's just a jerk.
Another moron.
You know, people still tune in because of his mouth. And, you know, Conor McGregor is going to not be that guy. He's much better than Adrian Broner ever was, you know, as far as MMA compared to boxing. But I still think that as long as, you know, he can get in there and mix it up, if he wins some fights, he's still going to be good. It's still going to be what he wants to do, honestly, because, you know, if they put him against someone else and loses, all right, maybe now you're down two in a row. If you get to three in a row, you know, maybe he says, hey, you know, maybe I don't have it anymore. It's not worth it. I got all this money. I got the whiskey brand. I got these other things going on. Why am I going to take this beating? You know, Dana will put him in there as much as he wants to. I mean, how many times did it take Anderson Silva losing before the UFC finally said enough is enough and get rid of him? They still put him on cards, still put him high on cards, still even gave him main events after losing like seven fights in a row because the name. You know, they'll always do that as long as they can bring in people's eyeballs. So they'll do that with Conor until he decides he doesn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, until he decides he wants to go make more money in boxing, because that's where he made his biggest payday. And I know it was against Floyd Mayweather, but that is where he made his most money, was that one night fighting seven or eight rounds, or nine rounds, whatever it was, with Floyd. And he knows that there could be another payday there for him down the road. Okay, Mafia, let's take a trip around what's going on here. There actually was another college basketball game tonight. And if you have the over in it, you're off to a rough start, because Arizona State can't score. Pac-12 game, Arizona State tonight, 19-6, halfway through the first half. Six, that's right. The Sun Devils have 6 points. So they are not off to a good start. We'll keep our eyes on that one. NBA right now, Thunder up on the Blazers, Moff, 72-69, as they just got going in the second half. T-Wolves down 76-63 to the Warriors in the third quarter. So that's kind of been hanging around that same. It's been between 10 and 15 for a long time. You can catch the Warriors on FanDuel right now at minus 14.5, which I don't think is a bad spot, because the T-Wolves stink and they'll probably get blown out in the fourth quarter. Blazers, Moff, good win over the Knicks last night. Did you stay up, or was the two football games enough for you to watch the late-night West Coast NBA game between the Blazers and the Knicks?
No, the football games were enough for me. Yes, I actually tried to stay up to watch some stuff and ended up passing out on the couch. It was a long weekend. So, you know, even when you got to stay up for the fights on Saturday nights, it's always a little tougher on Sundays to make it through the late night stuff. I mean, although it was earlier this week than it was usually. You know, they actually got to
that. I was just going to say that to you.
Four knockouts got us in there by 12:30 with that fight. So I was surprised. Usually you got to stay up until at least one for a Conor fight.
I couldn't believe it. Like, and at first, like early in the day, me and Smitty were doing in-game live right before you and Holden on Saturday, and we brought up the fight for a moment, and I was like, the real question, Smitty, the real line on FanDuel should be, will me or Smitty be awake by the time this fight starts at 1:30, 1:45 in the morning? Because that's usually, you know, I know maybe not that late. There's been a couple that have touched that, but usually 1 o'clock for the main event. Now, you said it, there was a couple of knockouts, but I checked my phone, you know, around 11:30, 11:45 East. And I went, you know, the fight before him is just going on now. I go, maybe I can get this Conor fight in before 1 a.m. and actually get to sleep at a decent hour. And then Poirier helped the situation too by completely whacking him. So, I think I was upstairs in bed by 12:30, Mafia. That's a pretty good night for the UFC.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, they had four knockouts on technically five knockouts on the main card there in four fights, because the early fight that a lot of people missed because of the streaming issues, Marina Rodriguez knocked her out twice. She beat Rebus and knocked her down and was like pummeling her. And she thought Herb Dean jumped in to stop it, and she started celebrating. It's like, no, I just stop it. Keep going. And then she had to do it again in the second round. But yeah, they had a bunch of knockouts, and Chandler's was early, obviously the first round knockout of Hooker. So, you know, I'm surprised. I thought they would have stalled as much as they could to drag it out, but they got to it. So good on them to finally get it done. I mean, I like that they had the earlier pay-per-views. Like, start them at 9 at the Eastern, you know? You can still get 6 o'clock Pacific. Still get a lot of people in there. Like, wait until 1 a.m., especially when you have, you know, the ones that are like a double, you know, title fight picture like you have coming up in a couple weeks. You have the two of them where it's, you know, the co-main events are both title fights. Like, if those go 5, you know, if one of them goes 5, you're, like you said, you're up till 1:15, 1:30 before the other one even starts. Like, start it earlier. Come on.
Yeah. And what's the next one that somebody like me
Which
is
makes us
get
both sound
life?
Old, but still.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, I mean, a lot of late nights here. What's the next one that somebody like me, the fair weather guy who likes violence, is it, I guess, Ngannou and Stipe? That's the next big one for me?
Probably. I mean, they have that Usman Burns one coming up in February.
Yeah, Usman fight again. I'll never watch the Masvidal fight. After that Masvidal fight, I will never watch that guy in a main event again. What a waste of time and money he is. I can't watch a guy kick a guy in the leg 600 times. All he does is sit there and kick the guy in the leg over and over again. I couldn't take it. I felt bad for Masvidal. He actually wanted to fight. This guy sat there, grabbed him, and kicked him in the side of the leg for six. Jeez, what'd they go the whole? He didn't even go the whole distance, did he? Did that go the distance, that fight?
I think that did go the distance.
It did go this. It was such a snooze fest. And Usman kicked him 600 times in the leg, and that was it. He won on points. What a disaster. So, no, I won't be watching Usman.
Yeah, that one's only a one title fight anyway, so who cares about that one?
Right.
Later on, a month later, it's the March 6th one has Blachowicz, Israel Adesanya fighting for the title, and then Amanda Nunes fights as well. So there's a double title
one. Well, there's another one that you can't. She'll beat whoever. She's fighting the girl I like to. What's the name of the girl she's fighting that Nunes
Megan Anderson. This time?
Yeah, I like her. Canadian girl, right? I like Megan Anderson.
I think
Anderson.
She's Australian or New Zealand. She's
maybe,
one of those
whatever.
Two.
She's good. Here's what I do know. She's going to lose.
She's got a ton of
that's what I know about it. She's going to lose. So, no, I think the next one for me that
actually,
I could probably
triple
get.
Fight. That's the Jan Sterling one, too, that card. As long as everyone's
Jan.
On it.
Can't forget
if everyone's,
Jan.
Yeah, no. It's actually there.
The next one for me is Stipe and Ngannou. I'll watch that fight. And because I'd like to see Ngannou, who basically has only fought. He's fought a bunch of times, but when you only fight like 6 seconds in each fight, you know, he's basically only fought like two rounds in the last year and a half. So I'd like to see Ngannou fight Stipe. That would be a good fight. NBA tonight, Maaf, we were just saying there was a couple live games, a couple finals. Pacers beat the Raptors. Pistons beat the Sixers. Magic beat the Hornets. We did say the Lakers 115-108 over the Cavs. LeBron for 46. What'd you say he had in the fourth, Moff? 21, 24, somewhere in that area?
21 points in the fourth quarter.
Wow. Big fourth for LeBron tonight as he goes back to the land and he gets it done. Nice job by him. Celtics
3-0
beat the
going
Bulls.
Back there since he went to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Not that should be hard with how bad that team is, but still.
The Cavs have been spunky this year. I'll give them that. The Cavs have been very spunky. They beat the Nets a couple times last week. They've got some decent wins. I know they were 500 going into that Celtic game last night, I think. But the Cavs haven't been too bad. And the Nuggets Mafia, who have been playing very well. Nuggets beat the Mavs. That's a nice job. They just had two tough overtime wins over the Suns on Friday and Saturday night. And then the Nuggets come back tonight and get a win in Dallas. I like the way that the Nuggets are playing right now, Mafia.
Yeah, I'm very surprised about that. I give them a lot of credit for that. When I was saying Saturday, once I saw them go into the overtime game again, I think was Friday double overtime too? So they played like three extra quarters, you know, in those 2 days. I'm like, when their
Saturday
next game,
was
I'm going to fade
overtime
them.
Game. Yeah, Saturday was a double overtime game.
I'm like, I got to fade them the next one, especially when I saw it was the Mavericks and that Porzingis didn't play over the weekend, so he was going to play for this one. I'm like, there's no way they win this game. They're going to be gassed and the Mavericks are going to be ready for it. And then they win again. I mean, that was incredible. Porter Jr. had a great game in that one. The Joker does his thing once again. And Murray's playing well. I mean, they're getting a lot of contributions from a lot of guys. And now that Porter's back, that's definitely going to work in their favor. Gives them, you know, an extra. He's the kind of like the third musketeer now, I feel like, for that team.
Yeah, Porter with 30 tonight. So they get him back. And he has some spurts like this where he goes off. And he did it tonight for them. And the Nets did win 98-85 over the Heat. The Nets are very interesting, Mafia. I feel like the Nets, there's a lot of just
cover.
And they did cover too. How about that? I feel like the Nets are just, you know, they're running everybody out there, but I think they know the end game is the playoffs. I think they slow play every night. I don't think they care that they lose games like they did to the Cavs last week. I think that all they care about is being healthy as possible for the playoffs, and that's it.
And how many people got so juiced up about that over, just thinking it was going to be high scoring again? And that number climbed up again. I'm like, that's a little iffy. And it showed. I mean, do they actually play defense tonight, or just nobody hit the throw outside the bar? Only 85 points by the Heat. Wow.
Trust me, it wasn't defense. It wasn't defense at all. What it was both teams couldn't hit shots. Because I watched it, they both were chucking, and nobody could hit the broadside of a barn. Couldn't put the ball in the ocean. Any kind of cliche that you want to throw out there, the Nets and the Heat were just missing everything. And then it was 81-80. And the Nets said, all right, let's rip them. And that's exactly what they did. KD, Harris, they all started hitting threes. And it was game over after that. So Nets get a win over the Heat. I think they beat them both games, right? They beat them Saturday night too, but they didn't cover Saturday. They beat them tonight. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight and all week. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. A lot more to do. We keep rolling on the bench. SiriusXM 204 Sports Grid Radio right after this.
We're everywhere. Radio, the internet, TV, satellite, and our mobile app. We make it easy. Like real easy. In fact, if you're not listening, it's you. It's always you. Slacker. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Frell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879 is the number to get involved. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Our friends, Channel 204, Sirius XM, Sports Grid Radio, and everywhere else. It is good to have you aboard. End of two, Mafia, in Vancouver, where the Canucks lead the Senators 4-1. Here's the problem. There have been no power play goals in the game, and that makes me sad. I, of course, every night play this power play point prop system that I've kind of been rolling with. And here's the and this is a tough night. I should have just stayed off it tonight, Mafia, because there was only one game. So usually I have a bunch of games on the board, and I'm able to – I have a thing where I look at – I take teams that are in the top 10 in power play, or I play against teams that are in the bottom 10 in penalty kill and try to find – you know, I don't use the top stars. I use the guys that are on the top power play units with them, and it's working pretty well for me since the season started. But tonight there was only one game, and I got silly, and I said, I'm going to – because I play six players every night religiously. Boom, 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 six players. So I said, I never go more than two or three players in one particular game. Let me try and go six players in one game and see how it turns out to me. You want to know how it's turned out so far? Donut. Bagel. That's how it's turned out so far, because neither of these teams have scored on the power play. So I'm looking for a power play bailout. I just need one or two, Moff. I don't need all six. One or two, and I could still even be even or go ahead for the night. That's what we need.
Yeah, that's a game I would have avoided altogether just because of these two teams. I mean, man. We talked about, you know, before the season started how they were really kind of shafting these teams in the East by putting them all in the same division, and then the Canadian division was going to be so weak. And it's shown so far. The Canadian division has been trash, and these are two of the worst in that division. So I would have just taken the night off.
Yeah, I should have, because with one game, I should, like, tomorrow night there's a full slate. There's usually a full slate. And if there's three or more games, I can find the edges with who's got the better power plays and things. It was silly of me to get involved. I didn't want to take a night off. It was the only thing I was going to play tonight, and I did a bad job with it. But there's still a third period, and I've been bailed out in third periods with this power play point system plenty of times, so we will try to ride along. And in the NBA, Mafia, I was thinking about it because we were just talking about the Nets and things like that. And the Sixers tonight, like, they didn't, you know, Embiid didn't play, and they lost anyway. Like, for me, Mafia, right now, like, betting the NBA in the regular season, it's tough. I think it's, for me, it's in-game betting, and that's it. Like, for the NBA, I need to be watching the game. I need to know who's invested. I need to know who's playing. I need all of those things, that information, if I'm betting the NBA right now, because there's too many unknowns pregame. For me personally, I think betting the NBA in-game is a lot better than betting it pregame. That's just the way I see it right now.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, especially given the season that we're having with all these guys coming off the short offseason, you know, who's got injuries that they're nursing or protecting, or, you know, trying to save up themselves for the postseason because, you know, the short break between the two, if you went pretty deep in the playoffs, it's just a wacky season all around. And then, of course, the COVID issues where, you know, now that we're not in the bubble, we actually have to worry about that. Now we have to worry about guys not being around and not being there for four or five games if they test positive, or, you know, not being there for two or three games because all of a sudden they're contact tracing, or, you know, you have the team all of a sudden out. And you're playing with, you know, mostly bench guys. So it's been a really weird season, and we're not getting a lot of those until right before game time. And not that we ever did. I mean, I remember when we first, you and I were starting with the NBA DFS when it first started. And it was just so frustrating that, you know, you make a lineup in the morning, and then all of a sudden you find out at 6:30 before a 7 o'clock start Eastern that, oh, yeah, this guy and this guy are not playing. And you're like, really? I don't have time to change this now. Like, so...
yeah,
I think in-game betting is definitely, I mean, it's the way of the future, just the way that it's taken over in betting overall. But I think it's definitely the better way to play some of these basketball games, especially NBA. I mean, college as well. You know, we didn't find out Cunningham was out till just before, you know, like an hour or two before that game, right? So it just makes it easier to find out and see how these guys are doing, because you can get a feel for them if they actually care tonight.
That's it for me. It's in-game for NBA or nothing. You know, that's all I can do, pregame stuff. And you mentioned the COVID situation. We should definitely bring this up. If you're a Clipper backer, if you like playing the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, both out tomorrow night for the Clippers in Atlanta. They didn't even make the trip, Mafia. They're under the COVID protocol now. So the two best players on the Clippers won't be there tomorrow. And I'm guessing, Maf, we've seen it. What has it been like? Usually a week, 2 weeks they keep these guys out, and the Clippers start a long road trip tomorrow, East Coast in Atlanta. They go to Atlanta. They go to Orlando. They go to Miami. They go to the Knicks. They got a lot of games on the East Coast in the next week. And I know they're definitely out tomorrow. I don't know about beyond that. But no Kawhi and PG-13 against the Hawks tomorrow night.
Yeah, they're saying it could be out through the rest of the week. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, too, as well. At this point, it's just the contact tracing, I believe. But, you know, if one of them ends up testing positive over the next couple of days, that's, what, like 2 weeks? Isn't that what we just saw in Boston with your boy Tatum? So, you know, that could be seven games, you know, that you're missing these guys. A team that's one of the best in the conference and in the league right now, the way they're playing. And you know, it's not like it's anything new for Kawhi to be missing games. He's the, you know, proprietor of load management in the NBA these days. It's not just after he had an injury. He's been doing that ever since he came back from the injury, even after he's been healthy the last couple of years. So that's nothing new for him to be out, you know, game here, game there, but to maybe miss 2 weeks. You know, if he ends up testing positive, that could be something that's huge. It could turn this season for that team in a completely different direction. You know, they can no longer be the second best in the West. They can end up falling into fourth or fifth if they lose all these games.
And they've played really well. They have. I've been impressed with the Clippers. They seem to have come out this year with a little bit of edge to them, losing to the Nuggets in the bubble. Lakers across town win the title again. You know, it seems like they have a little bit of bite. But, listen, this is the middle of late January, early February. If there's a time that, and it seems to be happening to a lot of teams, if there's a time you want it to happen to your stars, Mafia, it's now and not at playoff time. It's tough we have to say it, but it is what it is. You can handle losing them for a couple of games out on the East Coast against these teams, because those are probably the teams you could beat without them anyway, like you're saying. I mean, it's just, it just is what it is. So we'll keep an eye on that throughout the week while we're on with what's going on with the Clip situation. Just saw this as I was scrolling through Twitter, Mafia, and because we like to bring this up a lot, and the numbers are so astronomical. Money bet on sports in 2020 in top states that have reported the full fiscal year. For Colorado, $1.2 billion. That's for the whole year. Indiana, $1.8 billion. Pennsylvania, $3.5 billion. And you know what number one is, Mafia, right? You know who's at the top.
Jersey.
$6 billion in 2020. $6 billion, Mafia. How about that?
That is incredible. I mean, I'm not very surprised. I mean, we just talked about with things like the Super Bowl, how it's so different. I mean, sports and life right now is different for a lot of people. And, you know, maybe where you would pay attention to some of these games here or there because of going out and having a life. Now we have no life and you're stuck at home every day. So now that more and more of these states are opening this up, people are getting involved and they want that entertainment value. And if it's not a team you like, the best way to get entertainment in a game is to bet on it, right? So it's amazing. You know, we always thought that Jersey, New York, you know, and if New York ever opens up the mobile like they're trying to do now, they're probably even overtake Jersey because all the people that are coming across the river to place their bets right now because they have to. I mean, it's incredible. All the people that were gambling illegally on the East Coast before they started opening these places up, before they started opening everything up to sports betting in these different states. And it's only going to continue. I mean, what did we just get? It was like Michigan and Virginia last week I saw just opened up mobile betting. So, you know, when you could do it easily to open up betting and, you know, sports betting and, you know, being able to do it at a casino or a track or something like that. But to be able to do it on your phone and just do it at home, it makes it so much easier for everyone, so much more accessible, and brings in so much more money.
Yeah, and you got to think that the people in New York, obviously the governor and a couple of his constituents, they look at that $6 billion and they got to know good piece of that pie should be coming their way. And they got to figure it out fast. I know that Smitty's been on top
of it. Show me the money!
Show me the money, baby. Show me the money. Get it done in New York. That's for sure. Gotta get it done. Checking back in with the College Hoops Mafia. Nice job by the Sun Devils tonight of Arizona State. As we get to the end of the first half, they are down 38-17 to their cross-state rivals, the Arizona Wildcats, putting the beating on them here. 39-17 with about a minute left to go in the first half. Jeez, nice effort by Hurley's crew. Good job tonight, Sun Devils.
You know, we talked about how crazy the schedule is. I mean, I don't know if you realize this. These two teams just played each other in the last game, too. Thursday, they just played each other, and then like, oh, we'll just take the weekend off and see you next week. And again, you know, it was a much closer game the first time, obviously. Arizona won by 2 points, so it was a great game. Everything you hope for from a rivalry, That's hard to get up for again 4 days later. So right now we're not getting that at all as Arizona is pulling away, as you said, at home, just dominating this thing. It's crazy this season that, you know, the way the schedule works out, it's like, hey, you know, we like playing you. You're crazy. Like all these great games, the rivalry games, and okay, now let's go do it again. You know, it's just nuts to do that. It's one thing with the NHL and the NBA doing that, especially the NHL with these home and home and home and homes. I mean, what did Vegas play? It was the Coyotes, right? The Coyotes,
four times in a row.
It's one thing for them to do that, but for colleges to do it back-to-back is insane.
No, four times in a row. The Canadiens and the Canucks played three games in a row. It's just part of the schedule this year. It's just weird. It's bizarre. And it's still too early in the NHL to really get the good trends on what's going on the second nights of these back-to-backs, because most of them are two-game series. You get the occasional ones like we just mentioned, the four-gamers and the threes. I think it's going to be hard to track those, but tracking the back-to-backs is something that we're definitely going to have to do in the NHL. And we do have a good night of college hoops tomorrow night, Mafia. There's some good games, really good games. I know Alabama plays Kentucky, Butler, UConn, Georgia Tech, Duke, Missouri, Auburn. A lot of good games we've got tomorrow night, so we'll have that on the slate as well. Nice job by the Thunder here, Mafia, up 99-95 on Portland now in the fourth quarter. And you can actually catch the Blazers, and I would do this now if you have the access to do it. Plus 120 on the money line, down four at home to the Thunder. I like that spot to grab. This is why I like the in-game. This is where I'd rather be. In the fourth quarter, four-point game, Blazers at home. This is a jump-in for me, Mafia. And there you go. They're down one now, and it's swung to minus 132. That's how fast it can change. You could have gotten plus money a minute ago. Now they're minus 132.
Yeah, sometimes it changes too quick for you to get in. It's crazy when you see a good line fast in those fingers. Games. You really got to jump on there. One you might have to wait to jump on, too, because you just mentioned the college hoops for tomorrow. I mean, Oklahoma and Texas are playing in Austin, but number five Texas now without Shaka Smart, as he says, positive for COVID. So they're the favorites still against Oklahoma, who is ranked team this year. But without your coach, I don't know. You might want to wait and see how that works out before you jump in on it.
Well, not only that, like, if he's – now, look, if he's got it, Mafia, right, where's the contact tracing here? Like, we've seen so many college basketball games get canceled here over the last month and a half. Where's that? How are they playing tomorrow? All the kids don't have it.
Well, the odds
they
cancel that game tomorrow in the afternoon sometime.
That's gonna be I'd be careful of even betting that. Listen, you get your money back anyway if it gets canceled, but I'd be careful either way. How can they play that game tomorrow night? They gotta put somebody else on that team's gonna come up with it. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. Me and Mafia will wrap it up. Next, after this, SiriusXM, Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio. We keep rolling right after this. And we are back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia here with you in for Scotty Pharrell tonight and all week long. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. 105-100 now, Mafia. The Thunder up five. Once again, the in-game swing. You can get the Blazers at plus 198 now. And the T-Wolves have hung around with the Warriors, Mafia. 98-87 now. Golden State leads them at home. They're early in the fourth quarter. Minus 10.5 on the live line for the Warriors. So some good NBA tonight. The Nets won. The Lakers won at the Cavs. Celtics won in a blowout in Chicago. Nuggets with a good win. Pretty good night in the NBA, Mafia.
Yeah, some close games there. I mean, I'm surprised. Golden State, we were having high hopes for them this year. Obviously, losing Klay Thompson was a big shot to them, and it really took a lot out of that lineup. But I mean, I thought they would be a little bit better with some of these guys that they've added over the years. You know, they added some pieces here. These young guys and the guys that they worked in last year, and it's kind of disappointing all year. I mean, they got a decent lead right now, but Minnesota's terrible. They got nobody. You know, D'Angelo Russell, I just saw on the bench. Cat's had COVID. He's out. How are you not just dumping this team?
Yeah, no, I'm like an auto fade. If I am playing in game, I try to find an edge with the Timberwolves because they absolutely stink. Good stuff tonight. Plenty of NFL. We're in the long stretch as we try to get to Tampa a week from Sunday between the Bucks and the Chiefs. A lot of analysis coming over the next 12, 13 days before we get there. Great stuff tonight, Mafia. Good stuff all around. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia. We will be back with you tomorrow night, filling in for Scotty. Again, a thanks to everybody listening, including Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. We'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast and tomorrow night on the bench. Have a good night.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.